Indeed, it is that time to look at the day's developments on the market. It's mostly green, with the all share financials, industrials and the top 40 ending the day up, but resources and gold end the day down in the red. Haryana Capital Advisors founder Petri Redelinghuis joins us on the line. Good evening, Petri.
Good evening, Tumisang. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for your time. Talk us through the day's market developments. What happened?
Well, a couple of really confusing things happened. One, the Rand firmed up quite a bit, so about 1% stronger. Now, it sort of did start the day off somewhat stronger, ranging between about 30 basis points and 0.5% for most of the time. And then in the late afternoon, it firmed up all the way, traded all the way below 14 Rand, actually. It was 13.98, 13.96 at the strongest that I saw it. And we're not really sure why. It was just a very quick move in the space of an hour that the Rand got just really very strong. And I think that, you know, from what I can tell, most people are sort of just attributing it to, you know, favorable emerging market conditions or sentiment towards emerging markets, creating a bit of capital flows into emerging markets. Whether or not there was some other catalyst that I may have missed or haven't seen, I'm sure, but for, well, you know, most of the traders and people that I'd spoken to didn't really have a clear idea of why it was performing so very well. But you know, I suppose we're not complaining. What we saw as a result of that, you've mentioned it already, financials, industrials, and retailers performed really, really well. And of course, with the strengthening rand hedges and commodity stocks obviously coming under a little bit of pressure. So I don't know. We'll see what happens in terms of the currency in the weeks to come. I think a lot of focus still with for South Africa is, of course, the ratings outlook that we will know on the 24th of this month, as well as the ANC elect conference, who will be the successor to Jacob Zuma in terms of who's in charge of the ruling party. I think that those two things will become more and more important as we get closer to those dates.
Now tell us about Naspers looking to list some shares in London.
Yeah, so Naspers currently is listed in Johannesburg and has something called an American Depository Receipt that trades in New York. What an American Depository Receipt is, just for explanation purposes, it's basically a special purpose vehicle that's created that owns only one particular stock, in this case Naspers, and then that special purpose vehicle is called an American Depository Receipt and is listed on the American Stock Exchange or on a stock exchange. And then you can buy a company by proxy, if that makes sense. So I can buy shares. If I'm an American, I can buy exposure to Naspers for buying the ADR, because for every ADR share I own, it equals one Naspers share, because the only thing that ADR owns is, of course, Naspers. So they're taking a similar route to be able to list some shares on the London Exchange by means of ADR, American Depository Receipts. And it's going to, I think they're going to list something like 163,000 shares in the beginning. They've got approval to go up to just under 300,000 shares. So what this is probably going to do, it means they can raise a bit of capital over there, not that they really need it, but they can also gain access into a much bigger market. It lifts the profile of Naspers. It's a very good move, I think. And I think that what we're starting to see is that Naspers maybe have, outgrown the South African market. It's getting a little too big for us, and it needs more liquidity from different places. So from my perspective, this is a very good move for the share price. We do have a major discount if you compare Naspers, the value of the share here versus the value of the share or the value of its investment in Tencent. And with the London listing, because there are no real other big tech companies that they can choose from to buy or to invest in, they now have an avenue to get invested into Naspers, which is arguably one of the biggest tech companies in the world, considering it owns a massive stake in the biggest company in China, which is Tencent, which is a tech company. I think that this could be very positive for the share price in the medium term. And I mean, even on a day like today, where it ends at absolute record highs again, just absolutely smashing the records once again, to continue to be bullish on it might seem contrarian. But I'll tell you, if you look at what its investments are worth and where its share price is, it is actually undervalued. And this might be leading to a bit of a value unlock for the Naspers shareholders. You know, that you can get a bit of a rapid share price appreciation. Not only that, also at 10 past 5, they released a trading statement, around their earnings and whatnot. So they're expecting their earnings per share to be up somewhere between 92 and 98%. Compared to the previous comparable 6 months, and headline earnings per share to be up somewhere between 62 and 67%. So I'm not really too sure what the expectations were. I mean, I think after the 10-cent results we saw on Wednesday, the expectations were already pretty high. So, that might be a further tailwind on Monday morning for the share price. We'll have to see. I mean, I know when the announcement was made at 2:30 this afternoon that the share will be listing, or that they'll be listing an ADR in London.
Yeah.
The share price reacted very, very strongly to that. And I think that we'll probably see a continuation of that. Maybe not in the immediate short term. I mean, expected to continue to be volatile, but over the sort of medium term, the next 6 months, 12 months, I think it's going to lead to, even happier days for Naspers shareholders.
Very positive developments there. Lastly, talk us through the latest developments from the China Central Bank.
So, boring news, I suppose. Boring news is it doesn't always make the headlines, doesn't always catch everyone's attention. But basically what China did is they are leaving the monetary policy for the moment unchanged, which is sort of still accommodative. And sort of loose monetary policy in order for them to get their economy to continue growing. So they're not making any rash changes, which I suppose would be more sensational news. But this sort of, call it the boring news, is actually very good news, because China is in a space where their commodity or where their economy is busy recovering. And this, of course, is very good for commodity prices as well as sort of the global economy, considering they are the biggest consumer of and producer of many, many commodities and final products. So leaving their monetary policy unchanged at this point means that they are sort of taking the stance that they will continue to support their economy and continue to try and get it to grow in a balanced and a manner, and in a way that they can get growth back above 7%, GDP growth back above 7% per annum. And this, I think, bodes really well for global markets as well as for commodity prices. So even though commodity prices, the commodity stocks here are down, when the U.S. session opened, commodity prices actually started lifting quite nicely. Of course, the Rand strengthening upwards a little bit against some of our commodity stocks. But overall, commodity prices on the back of this Chinese news could continue their sort of slow and steady increase over the next 12 months.
We'll leave it there for this evening. Thank you so much for your input, Heriana Capital Advisors founder Petri Riedelinghuis, with the day's market wrap.